These readings are an unexpected grace for us to provide the focus of how the Lord's blessing wants to operate in this pilgrimage as we begin our first day. The one that struck out the loudest to me is simply the song that Louisa prayed. My soul bless the Lord who heals all your ills. That's a promise that the Lord truly does desire us to experience His healing, to experience wholeness, all that life has to offer, and to benefit from all that He wants us to enjoy and all that He has given as gift. So that's a true disposition of our Lord, and it's a promise that comes from His goodness to us as His children. He desires to heal whatever is sick in us, whatever is disabled, whatever is dysfunctioned or out of joint, not in alignment, whether physical, mental, emotional, social. The Lord wants to allow His grace to heal that the happiness of the Spirit may be ever more active upon us and within us. And of course, that happens, of course, in stages. It is a gradual process. But to be aware of the promise that the Lord desires this to happen. But what spoke to me strong on the other side of the coin, which is not positive versus negative, but they're both actually quite positive, even though it might not seem that way at first glance, is if the Lord doesn't heal in the way we expected, and in the timing that we expected, it's because there's a purpose behind that pain. And that pain, that suffering, is the action, the living reality of the cross as an instrument of salvation in some way in our lives or through our lives. Whether that's been meant to affect someone in our sphere of influence that we're praying for or interceding on behalf of, we don't know. It could be someone that will maybe never know this side of eternity. But that suffering, if it's not being healed when it asked of the Lord, it's because God has a purpose for the problem, a purpose for the pain. And that purpose is greater, will bring about a greater good than if we were to be healed in the way we wanted. Because that purpose behind the pain might preserve us from some worse loss that could come upon us, that we could bring upon ourselves, left to ourselves, without that thorn in our side to humble us. Like Paul, who asked three times, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. I could do so much more without it. I could be so better. I could be so much stronger for you. He seemed in his mind as if to be free from this would be of a greater service to God. But God had something much bigger in mind, and he saw a bigger perspective. And so that's the main thing right there. My soul, bless the Lord who heals all your ills. And so I want to declare that promise of the Lord over all of the petitions in Jesus' name that have been brought here, especially the areas of healing. And one area of healing that is so important, that is easily overlooked, but it does relate to healing, is the area of spiritual healing in the sense of the things that are hurting our faith, the things that are trying to weaken, shrink, steal, or sabotage our faith. And that might not necessarily, I think we can all experience that sometime or another. Even if we've been walking with the Lord, by His grace, for some time, that's a vulnerability that can happen to any one of us. None of us are immune. But I think especially for those parents and grandparents who petition the Lord for the faith of their children and their grandchildren. Our Lady of Fatima is so prophetic because it was at the hinge point of history where faith was being attacked, on a wide scale in terms of society. There was just a widespread of attack on faith on so many levels of society. And so Our Lady of Fatima came to preach the gospel, to bring the gospel back to life again by her presence, just as she brought the gospel to life for the first time to Elizabeth by her presence in the gospel that we heard today. Simply showing up. I mean, when we think of Mary as a prophet, when I think of Mary as a prophet, as the first evangelist, which she was in her visitation to Elizabeth, how did she preach? Did she have like this amazing sermon written out that just like was able to, you know, make sense of so much of the mysteries of life in order to instill faith? She didn't preach by her eloquence. She preached by her presence because she was filled with God. So simply her greeting, because she was so filled with the Spirit, her greeting imparted the Spirit to Elizabeth, such that it brought forth this spontaneous joy in John the Baptist, who was born to prepare the way of the Lord. And so Mary's presence brings peace and joy, ultimately brings Jesus. In the first reading from Isaiah, it was the strongest prophecy of the Messiah that preceded his incarnation. And Isaiah's emphasis about what the Messiah came to do was to set us free. This light that's entering into the world is the main thrust of it, is one of freedom. For he says, I will smash the rod of their taskmaster. In other words, whatever's a source of oppression, I will smash that cause of oppression that's compromising my people, my children. On his shoulder, dominion rests, and then his identity is revealed as this multifaceted source and summit of beauty, that the Messiah would be not simply a godly man, but God hero, wonderful counselor, Father forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion, his authority would be vast, forever peaceful. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts would accomplish what God wanted to provide and give us. So the two things there that I want to just draw out to simplify and focus on is, one, Jesus comes to free us. First, he comes to heal us, then he comes to free us for fullness of who he is. And so our part, the most important responsibility that we have on this pilgrimage, very simple, is to be disposed to the Holy Spirit to help us to simply worship the Lord. That's the big one of the big messages of Fatima is prayer. So we're coming to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and calling to mind worshiping the Lord Jesus as wonderful counselor, as God hero, Father forever, Prince of Peace. To allow the zeal of the Lord to stir up the fire that's in him, to stir that up in us. The fire that lives in him, that fire may also live in us. One last thought and reflection based on what we're celebrating this Mass at the sanctuary of Bom Jesus. And this is my first time here, but what I'm picking up by reflecting on everything that I'm seeing is this is primarily adoring the Lord for who he is in the gift of himself and his passion. And when we look at the beautiful stone staircase coming all the way up to the sanctuary, the way I'm understanding that, just artistically, is that that represents the ascent to heaven, the pilgrimage of life. And so we're ascending towards heaven. And as you go down there and you begin to read the different statues and what's the inscription beneath them, it really is a catechesis. It's a spiritual teaching. It's scripture in stone. Because what you're reading there of the Word of God depicted architecturally is all of the different virtues that draw us closer to God. And they're put in order of, in a hierarchical order, in an order of importance. And so one of the, you'll have confession, which means faith, and then it has a scripture passage beneath it from Romans. And then there's docility with the scripture passage beneath it. And you, the more you go up, the more developed the virtues become and the more important that they are for our spiritual lives in allowing the life of Christ to live and be active in us and bear fruit through us. And there's this beautiful point where it has faith. And underneath faith, there's a cross with a fountain. So there's water, as it were, coming forth from the cross. And it's very appropriate that that the virtue of faith is combined with the mystery and reality of the cross. Because we need faith to be able to see the cross not as a curse, but as a blessing. It's easy to see the cross of Jesus as a grace because we've just been so accustomed to that. But what about the cross in our own lives? Because it's so easy to not see that as a gift, but it requires faith to be able to find God amidst that. And once we can, by the gift of faith, then the fountain can be opened up. In other words, we can allow the Holy Spirit to work through that cross, to flow through that cross, and to allow that cross to be redemptive in our lives. And as you go up the stairs, then you have hope, and there's a statue representing hope and a scripture passage beneath. And then at the top, you have, of course, what is most important, love. And the classic passage from Corinthians, and of the greatest of these is love. And then from there, you go forward more, and there's another fountain, and now this fountain has the pelican pecking at his breast near his heart and feeding its birds, its baby birds, with the blood that comes from its own body, which has always been a symbol of Christ's love in the Eucharist, giving us of his very self, his very being, in order to live in us and to nourish us as his children. That's the gift of God's love freely out to us. When we get into this inner court, again, I haven't heard a formal interpretation, but how I'm making sense of it is the figures on the right facing the church are people that were involved in the Passion and expressed a certain amount of faith, were players in the Passion that ultimately came to a point of faith but weren't Jesus' close friends. They just came to, we only see them expressing faith during the time of the Passion. The people on the left are other players in the Passion that were indifferent to Jesus' crucifixion. Some of the political leaders, things like that. So it's very symbolic that they would be at the left and these would be at the right, just as we see from the Last Judgment. And yet they're still both at a bit of a distance. But then when you see the facade, the front of the church, you have the four evangelists, those who are proclaimers of the gospel. So then you're getting closer to the inner sanctum of God's heart, which is the celebration of the Eucharist, exemplified by the architecture here at the Holy of Holies. What we want to do in this pilgrimage is we want to ascend into the Holy of Holies of God's heart, to allow God to speak to our heart of hearts and to be refreshed there with renewed faith, hope, love, for the sake of divine intimacy with the God above, the love of loves, who is here with us so closely, closer than our very breath.